Candid Concepts by Rick Eldridge, an In His Path Ministry.com presentation. I want to take this time to introduce this subject matter to you. A lot of you who are listening to me may not know what it is that Kingdom is about, or who it pertains to, and why do we even have to know about it. In these series of lessons, I want to bring to you an interesting concept that is very scriptural, and this is the heart of God that wants you to understand that kingdom living is living in Him. If we're not living in Him and for Him and allowing Him to live through us, then what is this that we are doing? Are we just pleasing ourselves and the people around us? Are we taking time to minister to those who are sick and injured and poor, needy, widow, orphan, you know, the things in the scripture? Or are we just self-serving, only caring about ourselves and how to better ourselves in our job and in the marketplace and how to present to other people and fool them and pretending that we're wealthy and rich beyond all measure, when reality is that we're poor, needy, wounded, and spiritually deplorable? So these lessons are designed to introduce you to the kingdom, to bring you in as citizens, joint heirs with Him who brought us into life eternal. And if this is too complicated and too difficult, then how is it that we're supposed to live in the kingdom in the first place? Because He said even a little child understands these things. Remember in the Gospels, it talks about Yeshua bringing a little child into Him, to the group, putting the child in the middle and saying, unless you are like this little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. So, we as Americans and Western thinkers are not even familiar closely with what the kingdom of God is about. We know about presidents and leaders and rulers and kingdoms. They have kings and queens and princes and princesses all around us. But do we truly understand what God requires of us to be citizens of the kingdom? Or are we going around blindly trying to feel a way through this? Because we don't have shepherds that actually teach us what it is about a kingdom. And why is it important for us to even know anything about it? If this is our attitude towards it, then we have a lot to learn. Because unless you understand what it is to be part of the kingdom, to be rulers and judges over the angels, then how are we to understand the basic concepts of faith, love, charity, and all the things that are associated with knowing who Christ is, Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, who He is, and what does He require of us? He said, if you love Me, you obey My commandments. Well, then you look through the entirety of the Gospels, there is not one commandment that He said then that He put into place. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. But yet, that's not a new one. It's a reintroduction of what was already said in the Torah. And if this is just a re-education or a reintroduction of that, then what is His commandments? Where can they be found? I know I said Torah just a minute ago, and I kind of gave away the answer to the question, what is His commandments? In Exodus chapter 20, we read what His commandments are, just the first 10. The Jews say there are 613 commandments, and they divide it up as positive and negative commandments. However, that being said, even in that, when Yeshua was asked by the Pharisees, which are the greatest commandments of all? He says, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's a paraphrase of what He said, but essentially it's saying that unless you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you can't come into the kingdom. And yet, if you say you love God, as Paul often states, and you hate your neighbor or your brother, who you can see and touch and feel, then you, in essence, you're saying that you hate God just as much as you hate your brother. Oh, that's not possible. I love God with all my heart, soul, mind. I do everything for him. Do you? Do you take care of the ones that are thirsty, naked, downtrodden? Lift them up. Help them get back on track again, as it says so many times in the Torah, that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And yet, if you are not following him and his principles and what he's talking to us, how are you going to understand him then when he talks about kingdom principles? The laws of the kingdom are very simple. They're not far away that you have to send somebody out to get them. They're not in space where you have to send a rocket ship up and get it off of Mars or Venus or Mercury or any of those places. No, you don't even have to have a submarine to go get them out of the depths of the ocean. Because he says it's very near to you, even at your mouth. So if it's that close, then how come is it so difficult for us to follow even the basic commandment to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind? And you know what? He spent an awful lot of time in the Torah talking about the Sabbath. More times than not, every single project he talks about, building the Ark of the Covenant, building the tabernacle, he says, you will honor my Sabbaths. So whose Sabbaths are they? They're his. And if we can't get that basic concept, Sabbath, to rest one day out of the whole week, he says 6 days you can work, on the seventh day you'll rest. Because that is my Sabbath. And this is a distinguishing mark for us as believers in Messiah that set us apart from all others to worship him, to rest in him on the Sabbath. Because there will come a time when you're going to say, why am I so tired? Why am I so sick and feeble and I'm unhealthy? Why is that? Well, do you work 6 days a week or do you work 7 days a week? 24/7 if you could. Man was designed that in him, he could work until he dropped dead. And basically, that's what people do nowadays. They die at their jobs. So one commandment, we can't even get that right. He says, if you violate one of the least of these, you violate all of them. Because by doing so, you've taken away from God what is rightfully his. You are rightfully his. And yet, if you do not obey him on just the simplest little thing, like taking a day off, letting the land rest every 7 years, and then 50 years, give the land back to whoever you got it from. Oh, an interesting concept that we have to give it back.
Kingdom Concepts. This is Rick Eldridge. In our day and age, we have little knowledge of what kingdom living is, never mind have any real life examples to compare to. Sure, we can point out a handful of kingdoms that remain with us to this day, but they do not truly reflect the kingdom of God. I would say, no, they do not. So if what is on this earth is a dismal reflection of what Yahweh has in mind as to what kingdom is supposed to look like, man has tried to define what kingdom is throughout time since the creation. The closest we got to this was in the beginning. What in the beginning reflected the kingdom, you may ask? We had the kingdom on the earth and his ambassadors, Melchizedek in the person of Adam. If this was a perfect in all areas, a true reflection of his kingdom, what went wrong? Is there anything we can do to correct it? The answer to this question is no. In fact, only one can do anything about it is Yahweh, who created us. Yet even then, he will and does allow us to choose which path we want to travel. You see, what Adam and Eve did was to try to circumvent Yahweh in attaining knowledge through the forbidden tree. See Genesis 1-3 for the account as to what happened. Now, fast forward to Genesis 6. At this point, man had corrupted himself so much that Yahweh had to judge the earth, living creatures on it, for they were corrupted by man as well. So Yahweh sent a flood to destroy all of creation except for one family of 8 people. That would be Noah and his family. Before we go on, let us talk about the fall of man and how we got to this point. Yahweh did tell them about what they could eat, that they could eat of every herb in the field and the fruit of the tree. All of it was food for them except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yahweh further went on to explain to them what would happen to them on the day they would eat of it. He told them that on the day that you would eat of it, they would surely die. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, "Eat of every tree of the garden, but do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall certainly die." In this line of thought, most people would want to throw Eve under the bus and blame her for all the trouble we have today. Contrary to this view, it was not until Adam took and ate of the fruit that they were changed. So what most of the current teachers say is that the blame rests solely on Eve. Rather, when we examine what happened, that it was not until Adam ate of the fruit, Yahweh looks at this much different than we do. They were one, and when she ate of it, nothing happened to her, so Adam waited to see if she would die. It was not known how long this was before Adam ate of the fruit. Nonetheless, they ate of it, and at that time they were changed. In a reverse of what happened in the garden, we read in 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52, "See, I speak a secret to you. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, so we shall be changed. We will all be changed like him in an instant. What was imperfect shall be made perfect." Sounds like it was in the beginning of the garden, but didn't it? Now that we have an idea as to what was lost in the garden, and we see what the end result is today, the very same things that were going on then is what is going on today. You might ask, well, how was that going on today? The tree is no longer here with us, for it was destroyed in the flood. And you would be correct if that is the point I'm making here. What was the question posed to Eve? Did God really say? And you can fill in the blank with whatever you wish. The question that has been asked to us in various ways, or another statement that often comes into play when their argument is faulty, and that is, well, that is what it means to me. When we open up the Word of God and use that filter, and we change the meaning of the words that suit our evil lust, then come away thinking that everything that I wish to do is okay. If I want to eat pig, beetles, then that's okay too. Why would God put it here if it wasn't food for me? That was my point. If we change what the Father said, then nothing matters. Sin does not exist, and all things were permissible. You see, by changing the food laws, how messed up things become. Imagine by allowing this to happen, when you apply this thinking to the Torah, then you come away with a very messed up view. In this series, we shall explore the following. What can be done to repair the problem? Who is the only one that can fix this mess that we're in? Who is the king? Where is his kingdom? What does he expect from his servants? How does he want us to treat his servants? How are we to treat him? How are we to treat our fellow servants? If we wrong somebody, how can we make it right? This is just the start of the series, and we will discover what is required of us in the kingdom. We find that it is not a burden, nor is it difficult to live in Yahweh's kingdom. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all you are who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am meek and humble in heart, and you shall find rest in your beings. For my yoke is gentle and my burden is light." In Jeremiah 16, "Thus says Yahweh, Stand in the ways and see, and ask of the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for yourselves. But they said, we don't walk in it. And they said, we do not walk in it. Even then Yahweh gave a choice that would have been easier for the people as today choose the burdensome path. Why is it that we need to make it more difficult and burdensome? If you want a proof, look around you and you will see everything we do. What stops a person from just getting to his own car and driving where they choose? No, we have to have thousands or so laws stating how to proceed down the road and where we can go or not. If we do that, what is a simple thing like driving, it is no wonder there's 3 volumes just on the Sabbath alone. In our next session, we will discuss the rules of the kingdom living. May Yahweh bless you, protect you, and your family as you go out and come in. And may He grant you peace. This is Rick Elders signing off.